Morning. To draw on the comments by Brother John this morning, I'm reminded of another door in Colossians chapter 4, where it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." And we'd ask that you would continue in prayer throughout the course of our meeting here, that the Lord would open us a door of utterance. And it kind of connects with the subject that I had on my mind this morning, that we find in Romans chapter 2. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 2, you'll see towards the end of chapter 2, he's speaking about the Jews, and he begins in verse 17 by saying, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge, and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest not thyself, and thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? And that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Paul here speaking about the Jews resting and boasting in the law that the Lord had given them, and taking an awful lot of pride in the law. Now, we have things that we take pride in. Most of y'all, I imagine, are Primitive Baptist. You've been around us for a while, and there are a few things that we enjoy about being Primitive Baptist. There's a few things that I enjoy about being Old Baptist. I love the a cappella singing. I love that our voices can come together, as they have this morning, in beautiful unison to sing praises to the Lord. I love that we have these annual meetings, where folks from sister churches can come together, folks from 5 hours away or folks from Texas can come together, and we can worship in the same spirit and the same truth for 3 or sometimes 4 days. I love that. I love that most places that we go to visit, most places that we have church, on Sunday afternoon or on Saturday afternoon or before service on Friday night, we gather together in a lunchroom of sorts. Brothers and sisters in Christ have been doing it for years outside. I believe y'all used to have some tables outside. You have some picnic tables outside now. You drive by some of these old churches and you still see those old concrete slabs sitting up on stands where folks would gather together and they would serve each other and they would break bread together and they would fellowship together in the name of Christ. There's a lot of things I love about the Old Baptist Church. I love that grace is preached in the Old Baptist, real grace, a grace that covers all of our sins. I love that that's preached in our churches. I love that we attempt to worship as best we can in spirit and in truth. Those are all things that are hallmarks, and those are all things that folks outside look at and say that's what a Primitive Baptist is. Well, the law was what folks looked around at. The Jews looked at themselves and they said, this is what being a Jew is. It's about the law. Well, as we shared last night, it became more about man's law than it did about God's law. They felt like, at least at Christ's time, so good at God's law, you know, worked to the point where if you were walking around with a coin in your pocket that bore the image of Caesar, that was sacrilege. That was idolatry. You were placing something above God, and they figured that to be an idol. They boasted in the law. They rested in the law. It was real important to them. It was as important to them as the doctrines of grace are to you this morning. Y'all understand where they're sitting at, where they're boasting at, where they're resting at. They're resting in the truth that they had. They had something else that they boasted in. They had something else that they rested in. And Paul follows up his speaking of the law with a speaking of another kind. He says, "For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter in circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter of the law, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The Jews loved the law. And they loved the formality and they loved the idea of circumcision because it showed who they were. Who they were children of the law. Now, these were two of the pillars of Jewish society. They were two of the pillars of Jewish religion. These were the things that the Jews would look at and say, this is what I am. Sometimes we drive by an old Baptist church and we see the white siding and we say, that's who I am. We see the brick structures that scatter the South and scatter this country. And we say, that's who I am. Nondescript, not a lot of razzmatazz about the building, not a lot going on in terms of worldly things inside. That's who I am. That's who we are. We drive by this beautiful church. How old is this building? 100-something years old. We say, that church is over 100 years old. That's who I am. That's who we are on the outside. But something special has happened within us that makes us who we really are. You know, sometimes, like we mentioned last night, our hearts deceive us into believing that these secondary things are the primary things. That the symptoms are the problem, as in the case last night. I believe we do the same thing where we convince ourselves and our hearts convince ourselves that, hey, we got the truth. We preach the truth. We listen to the truth. We sing the songs of truth. And not a lot of people have that. So that makes us special. What's it matter if we're just a little band of people? We're a lot like the Jews, aren't we? We rest and we boast in things that sometimes I'm not sure we ought to be resting and boasting in. We rest and boast, as Brother John said this morning, in our religion as opposed to our spirituality. And there's a big difference there. Religion, pure religion and undefiled, is to take care of the fatherless and the widows. You want to define religion, that's it. Take care of those who need help. Spirituality, on the other hand, is a whole nother matter. Now, you can't really be religious unless your spirituality is taken care of. And that's something that God takes care of. But we ought to be taking care of our religion. So as long as this circumcision of the heart has taken place, then we now have the ability to understand what the law means, what it really means, what the heart of the law is, and what circumcision really means. That it's the taking away of the flesh and it's the putting in of the spirit. This happening at the point of regeneration. But he says in chapter 3 something very interesting and something that's really going to be our primary focus this morning. He says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Paul, a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, one who really loved Jewish tradition, he loved Jewish culture, he was all about it. This is who he was. And he just went and destroyed two of the pillars of Jewish tradition. He just went and said, everything that you thought it was ain't what it was. Everything that you may think that the instrumental free music was this morning ain't what it was. Everything about breaking bread this afternoon, it's not about the fried chicken you're going to eat. It's about the fellowshipping together. It's about the serving one another. It's about the preparation to do so. Some of y'all got up early this morning to cook your meals for today. Some of y'all started maybe earlier this week. You froze your desserts. You made your cookies and you put them aside. And you prepared, I hope that you've prepared for this portion of today as much as you have for lunch afterwards. I hope that we've prepared for the service this afternoon, the preaching and the singing and the praying, as much as we have for organizing an event such as this. But these things are special to us. It's what kind of makes us who we are. It's the characteristics of the old Baptist church. The Jews had their own characteristics in the law and in circumcision. And Paul has just said to them, what you think it is not what it is. So I have written on the top of my paper here, what's the use? What's the use? Why are we here this morning? Why'd you come last night? What is so important about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's so great about it? He says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in the circumcision? You know, profit's a funny thing. I've got a lawn care business still in Jacksonville, Florida, and we don't make a lot of profit. I'd like to. Because profit's what's going to benefit me. It's going to make me a little bit of money. It's going to allow me to do the things that I want to do or do the things that I need to do. Profit is a great thing. He says, what profit is there in the circumcision? And he might as well have added here, what profit is there in the law? I've just told you that it's not what you think it is. How does it profit me? Verse 2 is the key to this. Much every way. He says, in every way, the law itself profits you. It benefits you. It teaches you what you ought to do. It teaches you what you ought not to do. It shows you when you do what you ought not to do, hey, I'm doing this wrong. Because until the law was there, they maybe didn't know. You know, if you don't know, if you're driving down, and it always turns into this when I speak about this, it always turns into when you're driving down the road and you don't know what the speed limit is, yet you're going over the speed limit. Ignorance is not an excuse, apparently. The speed limit is still a speed limit. If you're breaking it, you're breaking it. The law, the statute, the ordinance is still there. But hey, I didn't know. He says, what advantage is there in the law? That you know the sin that you're committing and that you can then repent from that sin. You can turn away. You can, as we said last night, you can just stop. He says, what advantage is there in being a Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. And he says, chiefly. You know what chiefly means? Remember what Paul said? He said that he was the chief of sinners. Essentially, if there's a line of sinners, Paul was standing at the front. You know, at school, all the kids, you know, and some of y'all are still in school, you always wanted to be the line leader. We always wanted to be the one that stood in the front of the line. That was kind of a place of importance. That was where we wanted to be. They had to follow you wherever you, of course, you had to follow the teacher, but they had to follow you where it was a place of importance. One line you don't want to be at the head of is the center line, right? Y'all better amen that. Because as y'all file out this door in single file this afternoon, we don't want to be at the head of that line. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. He uses a little two-letter verb there. I am. Seemingly a simple word. Now, he had said previous to that he was blasphemous and that he persecuted and that he was injurious to the Christians. He said, I was those things before. And a few verses later, he says, I am the chief of sinners. What a thorn in his flesh to understand just who he was. What a thorn in his flesh to be able to come to a moment like that and to be able to relive the stoning of Stephen. You know, it says that Paul consented unto the stoning of Stephen. Now, that word consented carries with it the idea of being gratified. Not that just he allowed it to happen. He was at some level fulfilled by it. I believe that as Paul laid his head down every night, that if no other image ran across his mind, it was the image of the stoning of Stephen. Him consenting, him being fulfilled by it, him holding the clothing of the men who committed this act. So what use is it? He says, chiefly in this way. Number one, above all else, he says, here's how it profits. That unto them were committed the oracles of God. What profit is there in being a Jew? God spoke to them. Now, there's a lot of people, and I hear them on the radio and I see them on TV, and sometimes I've been sitting in churches and I've heard them, and they say, "The Lord spoke to me." Now, I don't know how the Lord speaks to them, if they hear an audible voice or if they get a what I call a gut feeling, or they're led by their heart, or they're led by their conscience. I'm not sure how the Lord specifically speaks to these people. I might question it. You know, I might question the preacher if he says that the Lord spoke to me in an audible way. But in reality, the Lord does speak to us. And he spoke to the Jews. What's so great about being a Jew? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not choose to set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. And you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which you had sworn unto your fathers." That sounds beautiful. I'm not sure it sounds as beautiful as it ought to. This Lord that set his love upon Israel is the creator of all the universe. This Lord, the great I Am, is the Lord that spoke the universe into existence. This Lord is the Lord that upholds it with his hand. This Lord is the Lord that has the will and the right to do whatsoever he pleases. When we see God as a great, awesome God, it ought to grow what we think about the Lord speaking to us. You go back to the Garden of Eden and you have Adam there, handmade by the Lord, fashioned out of the dust of the ground. His life began as the Lord breathed the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living soul. This is that Adam. He hears the voice of the Lord walking through the garden. He hears the voice of the Lord walking through a garden. What we wouldn't give, and what you ought not give, to hear the voice of the Lord. To have him speak to you. Now, the Jews had the Lord speak to them through all the prophets. He began speaking to them through Abraham. Now, think about Abraham for a minute. Abraham is, for all intents and purposes, doing his own thing. He's following his father. They're moving. And they settle in this town, this secondary town that worshiped the moon god. And they're there in this town, and he hears this voice. He hears the voice, audibly or inside, I don't know, but he hears the voice and he says, "Go here and I'll make thee a great nation." You know, I often question, how did he know this was the Lord? Then I get to the point when the Lord speaks, you ought to know it. Now, something has to happen for you to know that it's the Lord God. The Lord speaks, and sometimes people don't know it's the Lord. They don't have the ears to hear. I hope that you have the ears to hear this morning when the Lord speaks to you. And he spoke through Abraham, and he spoke through Noah, and he spoke through Moses, and he spoke through David, and he spoke through Samuel, and he spoke through Isaiah, and he spoke through all these prophets throughout the course of the Old Testament. The Lord spoke to these men, and they spoke on behalf of God to Israel the word of God. They were able to hear from God. Now, I'm going to pass a lot of billboards on the way home. These great signs that speak. And if you don't believe that advertising speaks to you, it absolutely does. My son, who can't read, walked into the bathroom the other day, picks up the toothpaste. He can't read. It says Crest on it. He says, "A proud supporter of the Disney Channel." That ad spoke to him. I hope it spoke to him to brush his teeth twice a day. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we don't know in what way it happens. As we read in Colossians, we hope the Lord speaks to us. He opens a door of utterance. that he might speak to us in some form or fashion today. He told Isaiah that he loved them. And I chose you for this reason, that you are close to the Lord God, the creator of the universe. He says again in Deuteronomy 14:2, he says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. You're it. I love you. I'm lifting you up higher than any other nation on this earth. You have something special. You have a fellowship with God. You have a communion with God. Isn't that great? Y'all better amen that. I'll tell you the same thing this morning. You do too. Because this circumcision that was shadowed in the Old Testament has been replaced with a circumcision of the heart. And that's happened to you if you're hearing me this morning. If you're hearing the word of God, if you're hearing the voice of God, that's happened to you this morning. He says, much every way that the oracles of the Lord have been given to you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. What profit is there in being a Jew? Romans chapter 9. Verse 4 says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Why was it great to be an Israelite? Because the God gave you the adoption. He gave you the covenants. He gave you the commitment. He gave you the love. He gave you the law. He gave you the service of God. He gave you the promises. And God has fulfilled his promises. What profit is there in being a Jew? It's that if the Lord has made you a promise, he'll fulfill it. If the Lord has committed to you to give to you, he will give to you. If the Lord hath committed to save his people, you know what he's going to do? He's going to save his people. That ought to be incredible to you. That this is God. This isn't just a three-letter word. It's not just a figment or an invention of man's psyche to be able to explain the unexplainable. This is God. This is the supreme being of the universe. The architect, the organizer, the planner. This is he. The one who is perfect in all his nature. The one who, when he does things, they are good because he does them. Because he is the measure of all that is good. This is that God. He gave these oracles to these men, to the prophets throughout the course of the years. I want to return to Acts chapter 7 and speak about the oracles that he gave to Moses here just for a second. In Acts chapter 7, verse 28, he says, okay, verse 38, we'll begin in verse 37. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angels which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. They weren't just words, they're lively words. They're words that are full of life. Now, God has spoken the word of life into the hearts of all of his born-again children, but he speaks the word of this life into us, and he ought to, every day through the reading of Scripture, through the preached word, through the singing of the Psalms, through the kneeling of yourself at your bedside at night, through the beauty of creation. He continues to speak to us. John says in 1 John, he says, that which we have seen, which we have heard. They were able to hear, and think about this just for a second. They were able to hear Jesus Christ preach? It was reality to them. You know, we measure life and we perceive life by our senses. We see, we taste, we touch, we smell, we hear. That's how we keep ourselves safe. That's how we perceive the worlds around us. They, in all reality, perceived the image of God walking before them. They were able to hear him preach the Sermon on the Mount. They were able to hear him say to the man of palsy, "My son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Are we listening? Are we listening for these utterances of God? This God has spoken to us in three very specific ways today. I'll turn to three places and I'll wrap up. In Hebrews chapter 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." First and foremost, the way that he has spoken to us, the way that he has revealed himself to us, was through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Word, the Logos, the Jesus Christ, was the perfect Word of God, and he has spoken to you today by Jesus Christ. Just the image, if nothing else, just the image of Jesus Christ ought to speak to you of the perfection of God, of the glory of God, of the light and the life and the truth that is God. He spoke to you by Jesus Christ. You wake up in the morning, you see the beautiful day that we have outside these windows. He spoke to us through creation. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. Any man that can look out at the stars and the sun and the moon and the distant planets and the distant galaxies, any man that can look at creation and understand all of the things that had to be just right in order for this to exist was planned, organized, and operated by God the Father, ought to fall down upon their knees. For it is God that has created the heavens and the earth. He speaks to us through the gospel and through the preached word of the gospel. Now, I'm not going to make any, I'm not going to begin to think that every word that I speak is planned and organized and spoken by God through me. I'm a fallible man. I will make mistakes. I may have made mistakes in the last 25 minutes here. But God speaks to us through the preached word of the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from above, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." This word is not just a word, it's a holy word. And it's holy because it comes from the Holy of Holies. It's holy because the word comes from the one whose only words that can you be used to describe him by the angelic beings in heaven are holy, holy, holy. God's speaking to us. He hasn't stopped. So we talked about the Jews. What profit is there in being a Jew? What use is there to be here this morning? What use is there to be, you know, I wasn't raised in the Old Baptist Church. And I hear the same things now that I said back then about 16 years ago. When after I'd been sitting in the church for about 6 months, because there was a pretty girl there I wanted to sit by on Sunday mornings. And I sat around, and some of y'all heard me say this before. I looked around and went, Sister Laura was there. I looked around and I said, they hadn't asked me to accept Jesus Christ. They hadn't asked me to be saved this morning. They hadn't asked a whole lot of me this morning to change my life and do these things. And I looked around. If anybody in here needs to be saved, it was me. I'm in a bad place right now. So I started listening. And I started hearing the grace being preached. Started hearing Elder Kitchens preach about the love of God and how great that love was. And I started having questions about that. So I asked around. And I heard about election and predestination for the first time. And the sovereign grace of God and salvation. I said, well, if that's the case, if I'm a child of God, why not just do what I want to do? If I'm going to heaven anyway, might as well live it up here now. Y'all ever heard that before? Now I hear that. And I think what Paul thought, God forbid. At some point he spoke to me the truth. He revealed the truth about salvation to me. And he's still revealing it today. I hope that we'll pray that the door of utterance be opened. When that door of utterance is opened, I pray that we listen. Because those ears that you have to be able to hear are an incredible gift of God. What profit is there in being a Jew? What profit is there in being an old Baptist? Is that the Lord is speaking the truth from his pulpits and his places where his people are assembling this morning, tomorrow morning, and anytime they get together. And that gift of God, Paul considered to the church at Rome, was a chief gift in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.